Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everyone. Just firstly, a big thank you to everyone that is listening, watching The Big Jim Show, whether it be on Rugby Pass TV, on my YouTube channel, The Big Jim Show, or like this, the podcast. Please leave a review, like, subscribe, whatever you want to do. It's greatly appreciated. I appreciate the support. Thank you very much. But this episode is from the Walk and Talk series I've been doing. He is South African rugby royalty. He is a global rugby legend, back-to-back World Cup winner. It's the great, the powerful, Hondre Pollard.
This is The Big Jim Show.
Give it up. Yeah.
Big Jim is wearing his heels. Marching around the town to get some thrills. But it's time to go in now, and he's big and red. A shot of black coffee, now he's super dead. He gets loud. I'm a beer dick house. I showed him up some whiskey, and he shoots it's like a ball.
Oh, yeah. It's like a big.
What about the storyline of Hondre Pollard? Was injured, then comes into the squad, and now could be the man.
Yeah, it's the most alive we've ever feel in the rugby field. I feel as a fly off as a kicker.
Hondre Pollard, off the bench early.
Like in your mind, you know it's going to come down to a kick probably somewhere.
Arkia Snyman scores for South Africa.
A lot of guys, I think, get like flustered and our shot clock's on and it's 60 seconds.
To the left, there's a penalty advantage to South Africa.
In that moment of putting the ball down, for me, it's exciting. I love it.
And here he is from 49 metres to win this semi-final.
As I got back there, I looked up, and for a split second in my mind, I was thinking, geez, this is going to be pretty cool if this goes over.
Hondre Pollard sends it through.
Oh, step up, young man. That's why I got bought on early. What a moment for him.
With the great Hondre Pollard in Leicester, my old home, still my home, deep yeah. down. How is it?
Oh, it's brilliant, mate. It's really good. It's not a lot to the place, as you know, but I mean, you don't need much more, do you? I know some clubs go all out with it, but it's sort of the Leicester way. We just deal with what we have and make it work.
Are you
I
loving
love
it? It?
I love that. Yeah, I love that about the club as well. I mean, if you have a good bunch of lads, good coaching team, a great stadium to play at, and unbelievable supporters. You don't need much more than that. So it's been unbelievable, yeah.
Tough with the amount of games. I say this, I can ask frankly, having been there and done it before, but from the outside looking in, Hondre, you go from a World Cup, you have a bit of time off, and as much as you want to be back in the mix, it's game on game. You throw in the Investec Champions Cup in there. A lot in there, a lot of rugby to be played.
It is. Yeah, I'll tell you what, my 4 days out into Africa after the World Cup on the piss didn't help. Straight back in the next weekend. It's tough, it is. But we all knew, just get to February. I think it's the Six Nations boys. I feel for them, they've got to go straight in again. You know, you go to an emotional place in the World Cup you don't often go to in life. And to come straight back to zero and go again, it's the hard part. But you just crack on with the boys, you know, and you just want to contribute to the club, to the team, and that keeps you going. I mean, it's all in the past now, isn't it? It's a brilliant memory, but it's all in the past now.
Do you think about it much? You might, like, I don't know how. I've never won a World Cup, so I wouldn't know. Let alone going back to back. To go from where you've came from, not in the squad, the injury that you had, then being called up. Like, were you at home, like, dreaming of a moment like that against England, where you come on?
you kick a goal. Look, they are dreams, aren't they, as young men that you have?
They are dreams as young boys, you think of that. And then you sort of grow up, and those dreams tend to go to the list priority, like it goes to the back. You start focusing on your game and all that. But actually, I think we should hold on to those dreams a bit more, because it fills you, it gets you excited, and that's why you do what you do. So I never could have dreamt of the way it went. Of course, this World Cup, no, I think nobody could have dreamt that, but it was a roller coaster ride, man, the last few months. But it's all good and well now.
Yeah. Emotional?
Yeah, very, very. I'm not a very emotional guy, actually, to be honest. I'm just pretty chilled usually, and a lot phases me, but I was very disappointed, of course, not getting selected. I know with the injury and stuff it was difficult, but not that I was disappointed or angry at anybody. It was just I was sad not to go with the boys, because I knew, like, it's such a special group, and you know, like, when you go to World Cup with a group like that, you always got an opportunity to win it. And I think that was a big thing, why I was emotional. But and then 3 weeks later, getting up again, going back, and then it was a real roller coaster, man. But it's a lot more good than bad, yeah.
Yeah, because there was talk before, and again, the media made this big hype that you're not in and they're going to fake an injury and you're going to come back in. I know they didn't fake an injury, but you came back in. So that conversation with the coaches and chatting to Sia last week and all the kind of insight, which is amazing, from the South African players and the coaches around selection, was it as simple as that? Was it just like, mate, you're struggling with a bit with injury, you're not in?
It's very simple. If you don't train, and you're not available to play, then you're not going to be in the squad. It's simple as that. It doesn't matter who you are. Sia as well was a tight call with his knee. Of course, we know the story about that. So, and that's just the facts. That's just what it is. It's nothing personal. It's just what it is. And we were just told, we had this little sort of standby group of guys just missed out. And we were just told, like, stay ready. Go back to your club, stay ready. And if something happens, we might call you back. And I certainly didn't think when Malcolm went down that was going to be me getting the call, because it's such a suspicious position. And we were thin there as well. But I got the call, man, and it was unreal.
And when Malcolm's such a key player for South Africa, and the way that the team was then made up after the 7-1 splits and all this, there's only one team that would do that, and that's the South African team, right? Yeah. What's it like being in that chaos? Is it chaos or not?
No. I know some of the stuff we do seems chaotic and crazy, but it's not. It's a mutual trust that's grown through the players and the coaches towards each other, vice versa. When they come up with these ideas, which might seem crazy for the people from the outside, it's always well thought out. We discuss it openly. We all know the risks involved with these decisions and plans, and we also know the pros on both sides, so we all buy into it. So actually, it's very, very calm. It's not chaotic at all, but I can see why it looks that way from the outside, yeah.
Are the lads joking, like, when you've gone 7-1 and you're like, right, well, who's going? Obviously, you know who's going to go to 9, who's going to 10, but do you have a little, like, giggle to yourself like a player around if two or three go down?
Yeah.
You know, is Eben moving out to the centres?
It is, mate. Like, a little bit worried as well at times.
Which one? The front row. Is it the front row issue or not?
No, I'm not too worried about the front row is all right. It's like, especially with the backs, so we were thinking a lot. Like, we had cover for one injury everywhere. But if we lose two on the bounce, like, we've been in trouble in the past with a 6-2 split, and we lose two guys in 10 minutes of the game, and we're struggling. So it was what happens after that second injury. It was like, Kwakha's going to go to that. Kwakha's going to defend on the blind wing and all that stuff. Cheslin doing his box kicks in the weeks. We had a good laugh about that. He was hitting them beautifully, by the way. It was unreal.
He was he?
Yeah, unreal, man.
Of course he was.
He's a freak, so wasn't expecting anything else. So you try to see the funny part of it as well at times, but, I mean, it was all business by then, by that time in the tournament, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's going over old ground and it's been spoken about and you're part of that conversation, but just that semi-final, I was there. It was just the craziest thing ever because of the journey that South Africa had been on, the journey that England had been on, the fact that England was so dominant in that semi-final, the game plan, everything around that. And then Manny comes off in the first half, and we've been there as players, you know, it's not going well.
Earlier substitution here, Luke.
Yeah, that's right. Andre Pollard has been brought onto the field.
There is Andre Pollard. 22 points in the World Cup final against England 4 years ago.
How was that for you, being on the bench? Was that spoken about before? Was it just off the cuff? Because you wouldn't have been expected to go in on at half-time. In the first half, would you?
No, not at all, to be honest. I was very, very surprised. We were sort of chatting away on the bench about, listen, clearly England's plan is working, the kicking game was brilliant that day, and we were sort of thinking of plans and ideas what we could do different. Next moment they just give me the call and I've got to go, and it was really a surprise because I didn't think Monty played that badly at all. He's just like a great penalty before, and a couple of things went against us as a team, but I mean, our coaches have done that in the past so many times that it's not a surprise to us anymore. And again, it's nothing personal. Next week, next guy goes again. It's nothing like that. It's just in that moment they feel that the team needs something different. So it was a bit of a shock, but I mean, you just crack on. Like, you just got to go and do what you do. Like, it was early still, so we had quite a lot of time to still get into it, where if you come on the bench, off the bench, with like 15 minutes to go, sometimes you can try and force it. So that was sort of a nice thing. I could actually just slowly get into that game and sort of feel it out and see where the opportunities were.
Because it was chaotic, and from a South African perspective, I know you lost the game against Ireland in the pool, but champions, you've been in big games before, but that it did feel chaotic even watching it. So you're on the bench, you come on, I don't know how much of a warm-up you've done, but you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Is it one of them with your experience and being in that team, it was just clear as soon as you got on there?
Yeah, it was pretty clear, because we could sense the frustration. As soon as I got on the field, I could sense the frustration of the team, because of course what we were doing wasn't really working, and everything they were doing was working for them. And we knew that we weren't playing at our top potential, and that gets us frustrated. If we play at our best and the team beats us, we're all good with that. It's not no issues if they were smarter than us on the day. But we knew we had a good plan, and we knew we could be so much better. So that was the frustration, and but it was clear that we needed some energy, and the bench, of course, brought that again in that second half. And Peter Stiff had a few words to say at half-time, which is a guy that never really speaks a lot. So that was interesting, and I think it was what we needed at the time. So,
what did he say? Sorry to cut you off, because that is a big thing. Because you look at Peter Stiff, the toy, for me, one of the greatest players playing the game, phenomenal athlete, very quiet. I love the bloke.
Yeah.
Can you share what he said or how he said it?
It wasn't a lot, mate. It was an Afrikaans, of course, and he just got up and he basically just told us, listen, we just got to wake up. We got to get fired under our asses. We just got to wake up and fight. Do we want to go home tomorrow, or we want to be in this tournament and play in the final next week? And that's basically all he said, which was pretty obvious. We were all thinking, but nobody was saying it at that moment. And it was pretty quiet, and for a guy like him, who's a pretty reserved guy, doesn't ever speak, he just works hard, to say that, it just really hit home with a lot of us, and we got the reaction off the back of that.
Yeah, so you were shell-shocked at half-time, isn't it? Because that would have been something.
Yeah, we were.
Have you felt that before in the changing room?
We were.
Like with South Africa.
It was more frustration half-time. A few of us spoke about afterwards, so we were questioning, like, is this really it now? Like, are we gonna lose this game now? Is that it? But it always just takes one guy to bring a positive influence or an energy or chat and just get you going again. And for us, it was our scrum, our unbelievable scrum
again.
That day. Yeah, again, how many times it saved us in the past. It's just unbelievable. And Oxy got stuck in, and the boys and Vinny. And that's all we needed. We just needed that one thing to just get us going, and that was it.
Mm. Just take us into that moment, Andre, the people watching this, that kick, about what's going through your mind. I know you've been through the process and the whole saying of going through the process, and the greatest analogy to use in this, and we were chatting about it, is when a Michael Jordan takes the game-winning shot, or Tiger Woods does what he does, or a Tom Brady, that's the levels that you need to be at the biggest moment. I know the rugby lads are all humble and you're a really humble guy, but to be in that position, in that moment, in that stadium, just take us through that kind of feeling that you have when you put the ball down.
I think in that moment of putting the ball down, for me, it's exciting. I love it. I love those moments. It just gets me really excited. But I don't think it starts there. I think a lot of times, like, we were 9 points down, 15 to go, or whatever it was, like, in your mind, you know it's going to come down to a kick probably somewhere. And I think a lot of guys try and push that thought aside, where I've learned over the years to really just take 20 seconds in a stoppage, whatever it may be, to really, like, address it in your mind and then forget about it again. But at least I think subconsciously you're preparing for that, where if it happens, you get the scrum pin. A lot of guys, I think, get like flustered and our shot clock's on and it's 60 seconds, where if you've addressed it early on, then you can just go into your routine and do your thing, and just enjoy that moment, because we've got to be realistic, it's not always going to go over, is it? But It's the most alive we've ever felt in the rugby field. I feel as a fly off when it's a kicker.
Andre Pollard, he kicked one from 52 metres deep in the quarter final against France here last Sunday night. And here he is from 49 metres to win this semi final. Andre Pollard sends it through.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And South Africa lead in the World Cup semi-final. Oh, step up, young man. That's why I got bored on early.
Just with all that pressure on you to kick that kind of kick. And it's just, I don't know, I just enjoy it, man. It's really fun. And for the first time ever in my career, when I got back to my mark, and I've told the two couple guys this, as I got back there, I looked up. And for a split second in my mind, I was thinking, geez, this is going to be pretty cool if this goes over. And I've never thought of something like that. I've never had that thought, but that was just the sort of the mind space I was in at that moment. And kicked it, and that's the best strike of my life. It was unreal.
Was that the best strike of your life?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'll probably kick another 1,000 kicks, and I won't kick it like that again. It's just...
So it was a hard kick then. And I say that as not being a kicker, but because it was what they call a clutch kick. But looking at it, it was a tough kick, right?
Yeah,
was it 47, 48 metres out?
Yeah, it was tough. A little bit of a shoulder breeze, and it was very wet, of course, that day, as you remember. And the chilly conditions doesn't help the distance. I just struck that one very, very nicely. And like I said, I won't strike a ball like that again probably in my life.
Yeah. Well, just for the people watching this and the kids as well, and when you talk about inspiring a nation, I think that feeling of being alive, that's sometimes one thing that I speak about when I've been in games and you've had big moments, nothing like that, but you've had big moments in games or you win, like I've been lucky enough to win the Champions Cup and the Premiership. That feeling of being alive is something that you really struggle to explain.
Yeah.
But just kind of give an idea of the elation. It feels like you're floating, like what are you thinking? Are you thinking family? Are you thinking your wife? Your country?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people you could be thinking about that's come across your path in your rugby career or life, but for me, when you're in that zone, it's just you almost think of nothing. And people often say, like, try and think of nothing, it's actually impossible, but it's almost like that. You almost think of nothing, you're just in the moment and you just enjoy it. That's the feeling you get, or I get, in those moments. I just love it, man. It's good.
Yeah. Then you win the game against England, against all the odds, and you go into the final against the old enemy, the All Blacks. And I completely forgot. I'd switched off after the World Cup. I thought the final was amazing. You kicked every point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, all the first half, we get in the second half. We weren't even close, man. Oh, man. But,
Yeah. So, in that game and in the World Cup going back to back, again, keep talking about going back to back and inspiring a nation. I know you had 4 days of celebration and you come home. Do you know what that's done to the country? Do you speak to your family back home? Are they still buzzing off the back of it?
Oh, it was just unbelievable to go back, honestly. It's like 2019, we went back and we couldn't believe what we saw. But I think this time around it was bigger. We couldn't think that it could get bigger, but it was. I think the reason for that is because there's just so many more people in South Africa understanding rugby and the Springboks and what it actually means to our country. Everybody knew about it, but never really understood it. And I think with what we did in 2019 and Sia and Rusty and the way they went about it is just inspired and just put the Springboks in a whole different way in people's minds, South Africa. So this time around it was different. It was more like a, last time it was excitement, this one was like a, just almost like a thank you and an appreciation. And it was just beautiful. And I think, listen, we're going to be realistic. It's Africa, and there's going to be troubles and bad things going on probably that day after the final already again. But I still think there's a bit of that nice feeling still going around the country, especially with some of our boys doing so well in the URC and the Champions Cup, so African teams doing well. Hopefully we can ride that wave of just positive energy, because that's really the only thing we need at the moment, South Africa.
Does momentum gather off this? Like, are there conversations that are had, I don't know, at government level about what rugby's done for the country? Like, the scenes are undeniable. Like, yeah. Even just seeing them on social media, seeing them on the news, see Rassi's reaction. I was in Soweto when I was doing the Bulls Saracens match, so I went round there and just chatting to people in the street, and they're talking about that kick, they're talking about Sia. Like, these are people that are literally on the streets, right?
Yeah.
And they have nothing. So, like, how do you think rugby can transfer?
It's, man, listen, to be honest, it's too big probably for us, but the only thing we can ask, because we can only do what we do. We're rugby players, we try to bring joy to the country and bring positivity, and by winning World Cups that helps, but there's people in much higher places that's got to keep driving this. So, I don't know if Sia's going to go into politics after rugby.
He said no. We asked him, he said no, he said
yeah,
Rassi,
no. He always says no, but we'll see about that.
Do you think he will?
We'll see about that.
Could you see it?
I can easily see it. I understand if he doesn't want to do it, but I think he's going to play a role somewhere or another in some way or form. What that is, we don't know. We'll see. But he's just he's got a too good a heart not to get involved in something if he knows he can have a positive influence. I'm sure he'll have a role to play.
We're talking about the La Rochelle game and the size of some of the athletes. They were going after you as well. I know you're on the bench, you came on, but they were loving that 10 channel.
Yeah.
What about Will Skelton, former teammate of mine?
Oh,
he used to play in with big people, but
mate,
not that big.
Yeah, we are used to playing with big people, but he is massive, isn't he? And so many of our guys have never been to La Rochelle, never played against him. Some of the younger guys just couldn't believe their eyes. It's a big man. It's a massive pack of forwards that. And that's what they do to teams there. They just use that, just pull you into the ground and into the tsunami and to wave after wave. And that's why they've won the Champions Cup 2 years in a row, I guess. It's big, big human beings. It's tough, especially there, yeah.
That's how most teams feel when they play against South Africa. You do know that. That's exactly what they feel like when you've got Eben and you've got Peter Steph de Toy and Dwayne Vermeulen and you've got Jasper Visa, who's the smallest of the crew, going around monstering people.
Yeah, it's that was this. Some of the guys asked me after the game, like, what could you have done different and all that. And I said, like, I do think South Africa won a lot of rugby games. It's just brute force and physicality. And it's a part of the game. Everybody tries to reinvent it every 4 years. And we're going to the next four-year cycle. And I'm sure a lot of coaches will try and reinvent the game and make it more appealing to the eye and all that. I get it. I get that completely. But it's going to come down to physicality always, and it always will.
So we've got some of the greatest athletes playing our game. And the jeopardy involved. Big news, Lewis Rees-Zammit. He's leaving rugby union. He's off to the NFL. Can you see the appeal?
I can. I mean, I've never thought of that. I enjoy the NFL. I watch quite a bit, but I've never thought of that. And for a guy like him to go, it's big. I think it's big. I think it's going to probably set off a bit of a chain reaction on a couple guys.
Could your head be turned? As a kicker, you could be 45, 50, 60 and still doing it.
No.
They look at kickers. I remember Johnny Wilkinson, he was looking at it back in the day.
The great Marcin Buerta, he went over to the Cowboys.
Did he?
Yeah. Two-year deal.
Well, this is what I mean, because the NFL is full of lads from Samoa, Tonga, New Zealand with an Australian influence. South Africans are the most combat, contact-ready athletes walking the planet.
Yeah, imagine so maybe Aussie Snowman at the tight end. Imagine that.
My goodness me. Would they ever even speak about it? So you've got, imagine Archie, Archie, I keep calling him Archie, I love Archie. Him, Eben, yourself as a kicker.
Oh, mate, like, if someone wants to go and try it, but go for it, mate, enjoy. I don't think it's for me.
It's not for you.
No.
Only as a kicker. You don't need to do anything else.
No, I get that. That's appealing. But rugby's too fun, man. I enjoy it. Even though it's cold down the winter in Leicester, it's running out of Welford Road. It's just with your guys together, blood, sweat and tears. I don't know, I just love that. And yeah, there's nothing else for me, to be honest.
And off the back of the World Cup, the celebrations, the goggles. How long did you keep the goggles on for?
not too long, no.
The eyes start to sting off the back of it. Yeah. But you went and got some tattoos. We've sent them. They did the rounds on social media.
I'm a man with some... again, yeah.
Say again?
Audrey Snowman again.
What, that was his?
It's his contact, yeah. This guy does all this.
It was his contact.
All this stuff.
They just brought him in?
Mate, we were low over in Dubai, a few hours there, which got pretty loose and was good fun. He just got on the phone, and by the time we landed, boom, three tattoo artists in there. It took a long time. We probably started at 5 p.m. and finished like 3 in the morning.
So the first few must have been really good. The ones by the end were shocking, no?
Did they even look like World Cup? Some interesting ideas at like 1, 2 in the morning.
Oh, okay. So there were different ones. So they weren't... So I thought they were all the World Cup with...
Yeah, so...
The date.
Yeah, yeah. So some of them was just the outline. Some of them got coloured in pretty nicely. Yeah, it's some of them... Some different stuff. Damien Delaney got something for his family on his chest as well, and stuff like that. So.
Ah, so it wasn't just the World Cup, and some of them,
nah,
were weird chests.
Mostly World Cups, but yeah, it was good fun. And one day when we're all in Wrinkley, we can have a laugh about it, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Andre, some great Springboks in years gone by. Do you have any favourites, like past, present? You know, when you say greatest Springbok, it's quite thought-provoking. There's so many that have come through the success you've had in World Cups.
Yeah, that's tough. There's a few, like I think, of course, it's like generations. And the previous generation, I was lucky to play a couple of years with them. And it's Victor Matfield, Frieda Priya, John de Villiers, Schalberger, those guys. And you could mate with them and legends. But I'll probably have to say, at that time, for me, Frieda Priya, like, he was just a freak, man. The guy just... The vision he had, the awareness, as a young fly coming through, to play with a guy like that for a couple of years, I learned so much in that time from him. The way he saw the game, the way he saw kicking game, the beauty in it, all that stuff. It was really just unbelievable, and I he was one of the greats. Yeah.
Do you ever chat to him?
Yeah, we'll have a chat every now and then.
Does he know that you think he's the greatest or not? This is the first he's heard of it.
I think he hasn't heard in a long time. I think he has heard it before. But Faree is such a quiet guy, he'll just have a laugh about it and he won't even acknowledge it. He's just not that kind of guy.
What about in the world right now? So, as World Cup winning, fly half, who did what you did? Is there anyone out there at the minute where you're like, this lad is a superstar? Or this lad's class and maybe doesn't get the accolades they deserve?
Any position or?
Any position.
Yeah, I think the guy gets the accolades, but I think rightfully so is Dupont. Mate's a freak, what he does. Not just everybody sees the YouTube clips and the nice stuff on Instagram where he's scoring tries and kicking cross kicks, but the dark stuff he does as well, the physicality, the defence, like he's just so powerful for a little guy, and he's just got that feel. He's got that feel of space and awareness, and I'm fortunate to play with unbelievable scrummers myself at international level with Fuff and Oilden that are unreal, but I think Dupont's lately just been a step above anybody else in the world. Yeah.
What does Faf say when you say that? If he hears you saying that.
I think he'll be all right.
Will he agree?
He might. He might.
He has to. I say that Anthony Dupont.
You know, we're in the country of the stuff.
Yeah.
I think Faf's got so much confidence. Eh? He doesn't mind that, I think. They won't even touch him. He'll just be water off the ducks back with Faf.
I know. He's not bothered. Most underrated Springbok? See, you said Damien. Dale Endy. I think he's unbelievable, but see, I thought he was underrated.
Yes, he's right up there. Yeah, it's got to be him. I just think he gets criticised a lot, but the thing is, we use him in a very specific way. He's got such a skill set which people don't get to see every day. If you watch some of the games he plays in Japan, you get a feel for what he can do. But he's just a workhorse guy. The thing is, when it gets tough, he's the guy that steps up every single time, and that's, I think. That's why it's not the pretty stuff. He does the hard yards, and it's got to be Damien Delaney in our team. Yeah,
he is pretty. The guys in the team and the women think he's the best looking rugby player walking the planet. Ben's nodded. Does he know that or not? Does he shoulders back? He's a bit of a looker, isn't he?
He's chiseled, mate. Isn't he? He's chiseled.
That's the one.
But he's very happily married now. Just got married. Got a couple of kids with Dominica, and he is.
Yeah. Well, we say we all are. I mean, Andre's right. Mate, Andre, I give you a straight 8 out of 10. You know, my wife said I'm an 8, but with you, I'm definitely not. Funniest Springbok, the lads. All quite serious, but you're smiling from ear to ear, which is wicked. yeah, as well when I have you. But I mean, you get such a diverse group, yeah, right? Where rugby's everything. You've got the Afrikaners, the farmers. Peter Steffatoy didn't say much as well.
Yeah.
Who's the joker? Quagga looks like a bit of a joker.
Quagga just calls a lot of shit, doesn't he? Like, just niggly always. Yeah. Always in your ear and all over the place. I think funniest... Oh, Damon Williams is pretty funny these days. He's got a great sense of humour. I don't know, like, there's a few. Lloyd Dioche, when he's in the squad, he's injured now, but he's got a crazy sense of humour as well. Just all around. But like you said, there's so much different cultures involved. We probably don't even get off the humour that some of the other guys who speak different languages. They have a good laugh, and we don't know how what's going on in anyway. But I'm sure there's some good jokers there as well. But yeah, there's a few of them floating around. Yeah.
Wicked, mate. Well, happy, mate. You happy?
All good, yeah.
That's so good. Thank you so much.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.